We are one day away from Balaram's appearance day, and I think you can already see Balaram appears on a full moon, and every day the moon is becoming a little bit fuller, a little bit more complete. And when you go out in the night, you can really see this beautiful image of Lord Balaram's full moon bathing the forests of New Mayapur in a silvery light. It really looks almost like the Kartik full moon, where Krishna performed his Rasa Leela pastimes. So we are getting ready. Tomorrow is a great day. And let us not forget why this day is important for us. Prabhupada will explain this today in the Bhagavatam, but I can tell it already now to you. That Balaram is so very important for Vaishnavas because he supplies the devotees with the necessary spiritual strength which they need on their path. To go back home, back to Godhead, cannot be done on our own conditioned strength, the strength of our material senses and intelligence, but it will only happen if we are blessed by this Bala, the spiritual strength of Lord Balaram. So maybe you feel already during this festival, as we are going through the days, morning program, seminar, and then the evening singing, maybe you can already feel something, some change in your consciousness. By now you should be able to feel a little bit asha. Asha means hope, that there is a hope to attain the levels of Krishna consciousness which we always hear about in our scriptures. So we have two more days to go. We almost made it through the festival. Keep your attention focused. Also, I want to greet the new arrivals. There are a few devotees who are joining us now for the last part of our festival. Welcome to all of you, new arrival G's. Hare Krishna.
Yasodhanandana Vrajajanaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanacha.
Completing today the seventh canto, the verse from the seventh canto, which we have been reading, 15th chapter, text 45. I think by now you know how to chant it easily. Om Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Javanrikaya ratamatma vasho pakalpam. Dhate garishta charana chanaya nishatam. Jnana simachyuta balo dadad asta shatru. Ananda tushta upashanta idam vijaya. Javanrikaya ratamatma vasho pakalpam. Dhatte garishta charana chanaya nishatam. Jnana simachyuta balo dadadasta shatru. Svananda tushta upashanta idam vijaya. Yes, would someone of you like to chant this?
Javanrikaya ratamatma vishopakalpam.
Javanrikaya ratamatma vishopakalpam.
Dhatte garishta charana janaya nishatam.
Dhatte garishta charana janaya nishatam.
Jnanasi machyutabaro dadadasta shatru.
Jnanasi machyutabaro dadadasta shatru.
Yes. We will read again the text and then the remaining purport. As long as one has to accept a material body with its different parts and paraphernalia, which are not fully under one's control, one must have the lotus feet of his superiors, namely his spiritual master and the spiritual master's predecessors. I think we all understand. We are in this situation which is described in this verse. We are forced to accept this material body, and it is not under our full control. Sometimes we are tired, sick, and lusty, and we don't want to do that, be that, but it is happening. So we need protection from the spiritual master and the predecessors. That means our school, our parampara, our sampradaya. Sorry, the sound is not high enough. We're trying to use this microphone. Let me. I think now it's better. Is it? Yes? Up? Can we make it louder? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Yeah. Yes, I know you know the mantra, but this is the sound check. But nice that you have learned it. Hare Krishna. So good, we are getting there. So by their mercy, oh, this is now good. One can sharpen the sword, the shabreur, of knowledge, and with the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's mercy, one must then conquer the enemies mentioned above. In this way, the devotee should be able to merge into his own transcendental bliss, and then he may give up his body and resume his spiritual identity. So the verse talks about protection. As long as we are forced to be in the material body, and to get a merciful weapon, a sword of knowledge, which helps us to overcome our inner enemies. There are outer enemies, like in Kali Yuga, often the state plunders the citizens, and the mosquitoes are also outer enemies. And there are inner enemies. They're called the Ripus in Sanskrit. So then, when the devotee acts upon this merciful gift of knowledge, then he should be able to first develop what is called in Sanskrit Vastu Siddhi. This is while you are in the material world, you have an idea about your spiritual identity. And then after you have given up the material body, you develop what is called your Siddha Swaroop, that is your inherent spiritual body without any material trace. So this is the process. Very, very important verse. Please, if you have time, outside of the busy schedule at the festival, try to read it. It's a really beautiful. So we have in the last 2 days read Prabhupada's purport. He had talked about that one, about a subject matter. One gets knowledge, but then one must sharpen this weapon of knowledge by serving the spiritual master and adhering to his instructions. Then the candidate will get the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So simply having knowledge is not enough. You must do service, and this will sharpen the knowledge. You will be able to apply it. And so on. And now Prabhupada will talk about an ecstatic subject matter. Please listen carefully. I think you will totally enjoy what you hear now. Significant in this verse are the words Jnanasim Achyuta Bala. Jnanasim, the sword of knowledge, is given by Krishna. And when one serves the Guru and Krishna in order to hold the sword of Krishna's instructions, Balaram gives one strength. This makes it now very clear. So you get your Krishna conscious knowledge, then you do your service, and boom, when you do service, you get strength. I think we all were impressed by Madhavas Prabhu's account. He had talked in the seminar about the graveyard shift, that is the night shift of chanting, which is from 10 o'clock in the evening to 4:30 in the morning, if I'm correct. How much is this? 6.5 hours. And it's there you notice your chanting is not for pleasing a crowd, for impressing anyone. Even the pigeons are asleep during that time in Krishna Balaram Mandir. Even they don't listen to you. You are hungry, you are cold sometimes in the winter, but then you do it out of the service inclination. And then when you do such a thing, when you do a little bit austerity in the service of Krishna, when you put yourself out of the center and Krishna's pleasure in the center, Balaram gives you strength. This is what Prabhupada here says. This is an important principle, my dear devotees. As our Krishna consciousness movement moves up and down, I think in Maya, New Mayapur, our Krishna consciousness movement moves up now. You have to remember this principle. You have to do service, which is a little bit an austerity. Yes, it's hard, it's tough, and you have to give your best. But then if you do that, all of a sudden you get help. You get help from the merciful hand of Lord Balaram, who is there ready to bless you. You know? This is very important. If we don't understand this, we will turn into a mundane religion where we just do a little lukewarm activities. We are not cold, that is, we are not materialists, nor are we really, nor do we have a glowing yes in us, enthusiastic. We are in between, lukewarm. Oh, lukewarm, that's not a good temperature. You can't do anything. You can't boil your sabjis with it, and you can't die because it's not cold enough. You know, it's a life which is really lukewarm. Lukewarm, we say. In German, we say lau. Lau. This German has sometimes this aggressive punch to the language, and then you know what it is. Krishna. So Balaram gives one strength. Balaram is Nityananda. Brajendra Nandana ye Shachi Suta Hoilo se Balaram Hoila Nitai. This Balaram comes with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and both of them are so merciful that in this age of Kali, one may very easily take shelter of their lotus feet. They come especially to deliver the fallen souls of this age. Good. Papi tapi jata chila hariname udharila. Their weapon is Sankirtan, Harinam. Thus one should accept the sword of knowledge from Krishna and be strong with the mercy of Balaram. This is almost a motto for our festival. Accept the sombrero of knowledge from Krishna and be strong with the mercy of Balaram. We are therefore worshipping Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan. In the Mundaka Upanishad it is said, Nayamatma balahine nalabhyo natcha pramada tapaso vapyalingat eter upayer yatate yastu vidvangs tasyaishatma vishate ramadhama. One cannot attain the goal of life without the mercy of Balaram. Shri Narottam Das Thakur therefore says, Nita yera karuna hobe braje radha krishna bhabe. When one receives the mercy of Balaram, Nityananda, one can attain the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna very easily. Se sambandha nahiya brita janma gelata Vidya kulei karibetara. If one has no connection with Nitai, Balaram, then even though one is a very learned scholar or jnani, or has taken birth in a very respectable family, if one has no connection with Nitai, Balaram, these assets will not help him. We must therefore conquer the enemies of Krishna consciousness with the strength received from Balaram. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pistaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namine Namaste Saraswati Deva. Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Ya Veda Jadadhara Vivasadhi Govardha Vinna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. In this last sentence, Srila Prabhupada very much summarizes the teachings of this verse and the teachings of the purport. I would like to read it again for us. We must therefore conquer the enemies of Krishna consciousness with the strength received from Balaram. Now, one very strong enemy of Krishna consciousness is the mode of passion. In contact with the mode of passion, our conditioned, our psychology develops a few very great obstacles in Krishna consciousness. When we are in contact with the mode of passion, it's almost like something is awakened in us. We have down in this Vrindavan part of your project, where the Vrindavan clinic is, we have a very nice oven, and in this oven there is wood, and when you don't know how to use it, like me, when you bring fire there, then in contact with the fire, there is so much smoke coming. Everywhere smoke. Then I have to scream, Gopaswamiji, help me. I'm a poor city boy. I don't know the art to use the fire properly. And then the problem is taken care by the expert hands of the expert. So, you know, we also are like this. When the mode of passion comes, the fiery energy, then we develop a smoky mentality. The smoke comes out of our ears, noses and mouth. We are the smoke people all of a sudden. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes what the smoke is. It's lusty attraction for the opposite sex, greed for money, the desire for sense gratification, smoke, inclination for increasing one's hour and for honor and false prestige, smoke, and the desire for being worshipped, more smoke. You know, these are all, basically you have here gross material desires and subtle material desires. The gross material desires, they are like the body of Rajagun. It's just lust for bodies and for objects, you know, opposite sex and money, and so on. But then there is also a subtle body, almost a ghost, which accompanies this lust for bodies and objects. It's a subtle mentality that you want to be actually worshipped. You want prestige. You want to be recognized. You want to be seen as a good singer, as a good lecturer, as a good leader, and if nothing works, at least as a good prasadam eater. But somehow you want to be recognized. This all comes when the mode of passion comes into your personality, and you develop these smoke and more smoke and much more smoke. So this is certainly a great obstacle, this gross attachments and subtle attachments, and you need to make a great endeavor, really. You first need to see, this is not good for me. It's detrimental. If I stay on this level, I have no chance in Krishna consciousness. You must first of all do something which the Hare Krishna people don't like to do. You must be very, very frank and open with yourself. You cannot pretend that you are very advanced and it's not there. We all have this smoke. It comes from our heart and it comes through our ears. And someone who's a little subtle can see the smoking devotees. Hare Krishna. You can see it. You can see it by the expression of the face. You can see it in little communications and so on. Be honest. Understand, this smoke kills me. I have heard from Gopaswami that if there is smoke in the hut and it doesn't get out, you will die. Yes, if there is smoke in the hut, it's called in Deutsch, Kohlenmonoxide. This doesn't say much to you. What is it in English? Carbon monoxide, yes. Carbon monoxide. It's a certain poison which just kills you. It kills you. And we have seen in Vrindavan, sometimes devotees have not been very careful with the gas. There was a leakage of gas. And I remember we lost one disciple of Krishna Chaitra Prabhu because it's so poison. It doesn't get out of the room and they stay in the room, they sleep. And then in the morning, the bridge Basis come and say, back to Godhead. He went. This is the typical gesture. And we say, another one. Hare Krishna. So this, when you don't face this inner reaction which comes from the mode of passion, basically gross and subtle attachments, you can make it very simple, huh? Then you are in serious danger of losing your spiritual life. It's not good. The whole material civilization thinks these things are very good, but that's why they have no spiritual life, or just little understanding of spiritual life. If we as devotees become normal in the sense of following the path of the materialist, we will die spiritually. It's not good. It's unhealthy. So therefore, in our philosophy, it has been said, you must clean yourself. You must purify yourself from this after having understood how bad it is, in two ways. The first cleaning is through the, you must keep the rules and regulations intact. That's the one way. That takes care of the gross attachments. And then you must do a second cleaning. You must go against what is called pratishta, the desire for honor, for puja, worship, and for always seeking your own gain. Today, I walked with a very nice bhakta to the castle to attend the morning program, and we were just talking amongst us about how important it is to not always look for one's gain in what I do. You know, we are all tuned in to this looking for gain. WVHFM, you know, it's a certain radio frequency. VHFM. What's in for me? You know, we are all on this radio program. What's in for me? You know, how can I gain. No, but we were discussing as we were walking to the castle, and we are losing our breath because of the steep walk. We were discussing. We should not look for our gain. We should just serve the Vaishnavas, that they gain something. We were talking like this amongst us. We should serve them. We should look for their pleasure. So Lord Chaitanya, therefore, gave a practical example and cleansed this one temple, the Gundicha temple, twice. First, the gross things came out, and then the second time. I think sometimes in Krishna consciousness, we know very much about the gross things, but the subtle things, that is more difficult. And for that, we need festivals like this, where we have good association and where we chant for longer periods of time and where we can think about our relationship to Krishna Balaram and cast out or throw out these obstacles in the heart which make us spiritually dead. So to do this, you need a lot of inner strength. Strength given by Lord Balaram, and this is represented in this Leela, which I would like to relish with all of you this morning. Pralamba was a demon who had once fought with Kamsa. The two of them were standing in an arena. They had their fists, and they were now going to beat themselves until the blood came out of them. And they made a condition. Whoever loses in this fight will become the servant of the winner. So then the two demons got at each other. And both had equal strength. They were very powerful. And they just beat themselves until the blood was coming from the eyes. They really were cruel to each other. Finally, Kamsa got an idea. He just went down, grabbed Pralambasura, I don't want to tell you where, and just threw him very, very far so that he landed on the head of another demon, Narakasura, and fainted. And then Kamsa went, "I have won." And Pralambasura came back and said, "I am your servant. Order me. Now, Pralambasura's time came. Krishna had killed a few demons. This was a great, great problem for Kamsa. Kamsa became depressed. And he sat in his palace and thought, "This boy, everyone I sent to Vrindavan to kill him, is killed by this boy. Who is this boy? This is too much. What is the strength of this boy?" He became totally perplexed. "What should I do?" At that moment, Pralambasura came to Kamsa, offered his respect, and asked, "O king, why are you lamenting like a woman? I am here. I will go to Vrindavan. I will beat these two boys, and then I will bind them, and I will carry them on my shoulders and bring them to you, Mathura, and then they can be killed here and offered to Lord Shiva." Kamsa answered angrily, "You also want to run into the flame of a blazing fryer? Do as you wish, you fool." So Pralamba felt very much insulted by Kamsa. Two little boys. And he said, I'm a fool because I'm underestimating the strength of the boys and am like an insect which rushes in the fire, not knowing that the fire will burn it. This is too much. And he became really, really angry. So when he came to Vrindavan, he saw Krishna Balaram, who looked just so attractive and so absolutely sweet. But as he looked, he could also see some fiery energy coming from Balaram. And he thought, I have two types of strengths. The strength of my body, the strength of my intelligence. So he observed. Then one day he found out that one of the cowherd boys had other duties to perform and didn't join Krishna and Balaram as they were walking into the fields. And Pralambasura thought, this is my chance. He stole the cloth of the little cowherd boy. Sebastian, I think you have to be now attentive because it's a very important confrontation will take place in a minute. Brother Sleep caught Sebastian from behind. He thought, let me go clothed as this cowherd boy. By my magic, I will take a little cowherd boy form, and I will go into the assembly of the other Sakas and wait for my chance to bind Krishna and Balaram and run off with them to Mathura. So it's described, Rupa Goswami says, clothed as a thief, covered in profuse evil, filled with falls, and looking around, Pralamba took the form of that cowherd boy who had the duties and joined Krishna and Balaram as their friends. Now Krishna saw this big demon covered with magic entering the assembly, and immediately he developed the desire, let me take care of this demon. But for the Leela, he thought, I have to wait. And that was a little bit difficult for Krishna to wait, because our Krishna is very enthusiastic. That you must know the mind of Krishna. He's extremely enthusiastic. He's never dull. He's always enthusiastic. With love, he's enthusiastic. You know, he has all the six opulences. He's very enthusiastic. Nectar of Devotion gives an example what Krishna felt when he was delayed. When Krishna was in Mathura, he wanted so much to kill Kamsa, but he first had to take care of Shanura and Mushtika. And it's described that Krishna would occasionally, when he was fighting, look up to Kamsa with this ardent desire to kill him. Like a lusty man looks at a woman, Krishna was looking at Kamsa. You know, he was really like, when is my I really want to do my work here. You know, Krishna is like this. Krishna is wonderful. So instead, he played it cool. He said, oh glorious one, to the cowherd boy, why are you so late in our playing? You came late. Pralambasura said, it's interesting, this personality of Godhead wanting to take care of the demon and the demon wanting to take care of Krishna. You know, what a tense atmosphere there must have been. Not tense from Krishna's side, because Krishna is playful. So then Krishna played, the boys played, just you know, enter in your mind the Vrindavan area. The forest is there, cooled by fresh breezes, nice scents, nice sounds from the bees and the cuckoos, and the boys throw different fruits at each other. Hey, catch this! I bet you can't catch this. and just playing, and they leap around imitating the frogs, and they laugh at each other. They go to the wells and call names into the wells, rascal, and the wells, the echo comes out, rascal, and they laugh. You know, and they're just playing, just so innocent, so joyful, so careless, so carefree, I wanted to say, not carefree. So then all of a sudden Krishna, in a very melodious voice, calls lovingly to Sakas, ho ho boys, it's time to start a new game. They all are, what is the game, Krishna? What is the new game? And then Krishna explains to them a game where they do something. It's a complicated game. Let me not try to explain it. It's a something. And then when they need two parties. One party is led by Krishna, the other by Balaram. And then they play something. And whoever loses will have to carry the winner on his back. So Krishna's party lost, and although Krishna carries the whole universe in his belly, you know, he showed Mother Yashoda, he himself decided, I carry Sri Ram. And Pralamba was there, the boy, and he came to Balaram, I carry you. So smiling mildly, Balaram climbs on Pralamba's shoulder, who begins to feel ecstasy by the touch of Balaram's very soft feet, who have this red, because feet is very little reddish hue. But because he is a demon, he cannot surrender to Balaram, but he wants to do his plan. He thinks, I will run away with Balaram and bind him and then carry him to Mathura and kill him before Kamsa. So Krishna understands this, and he wants to make the Leela very nice, so he covers Balaram with his yoga maya energy. And Balaram forgets that he is Balaram, that he has all the strength. So Pralambasura starts to run with Balaram, and Balaram is just sitting there and not knowing what he should do. Now Krishna thinks at this moment, my brother is everything to me. I know what this demon makes, but I will keep him a little bit under forgetfulness, because I want him to enjoy the same aerial view which I had when I was carried by Trinavata up in the sky and could see wonderful Vrindavan, Kamyavan, Giriraj. You know, like when you climb on the Eiffel Tower, you see everything. So I want my brother to also enjoy Vrindavan. This is my secret plan. Why should I be selfish and only enjoy from... You must know, Krishna killing the demons, it's enjoyment for Krishna. There is no problem. So Balaram is carried away by this person, and the demon, as he runs, he gets bigger and bigger. The earth begins to shake, and Balaram is up there on the shoulders of the demon, and he calls out to his younger brother, who's so playful, "Oh Damodarji, hey Manoram!" Just as insanity, means craziness, robs one's intelligence, this demon is trying to kidnap me. "Oh you of infallible willpower, what should I do now?" "Hey, Rasika Krishna, without hesitating any longer, please give me proper instructions." Krishna felt amused. Balaram is so strong, now he asked me for instructions. And with a thundering voice, now Krishna gets also into the bath, thundering voice, very loudly he says, to Baladev, "Give up all your fears. Why are you submitting to illusion? Just remember, you are Balaram. You have divine power. And slay this demon. Why are you acting like a human being now?" And these words of Krishna, which have power, awaken Balaram. And the Bala comes out. He's sitting now there. The first thing he does is he takes his fist and bang, gets on the head. Pralambasura's head splits like a mountain which is smashed by a flash and from which the lava comes pouring forth. You know, when a mountain is really, which has lava inside, a volcanic mountain, is hit by a flash, whoosh, then the lava comes forth, and in this way the demon with one hit, bang, gets his head cracked, and the lava comes out and he tumbles down, and like a volcano, brilliant red blood started to shoot out of Pralamba's body. In this way, Balaram quickly pulled him to the kingdom of Yama. Shri Balaram ki jai! When the soul of the demon left the body, it stayed a little in the air, it looked around, there was Balaram, and it went into Balaram's body. When the demigods saw this, they again showered very nice flowers. Pralambasura slowly fell to the ground. And while he was falling, he appeared like the sun, disappearing behind the Vindhya mountains. Slowly he went down. So from that time on, Balaram is known as Pralam Bhagna, one who removes all sins from the heart. Humbly he accepted this name because, see, my dear devotees, we all have these smoke in our heart. That means our gross attachments to the opposite sex and to money, and our subtle attachment to prestige and honor. We have this in our heart. And Balaram takes care of this. But there is a secret which you must learn directly from the Acharya. The secret here is, Balaram will only start to awaken his power the moment you make a sincere and determined effort to cast this out of the heart. Balaram will remain neutral, almost like he sat on Pralambasura just being carried around and just not acting. He needs to be awakened. He needs to be called, like Krishna called him. Hey, Balaji, you have divine powers. He needs to be, Balaram wants us to make an endeavor. And by this endeavor, then Balaram comes. You have to be willing to make this endeavor. And there is a tip in our philosophy. Endeavor is sometimes difficult for us to make. Do you also feel this difficulty? You tried so many times. You seem to not be successful up till now. And then you don't feel really to try again. Do you sometimes feel like that? Go into the assembly of devotees. There in that assembly of devotees, you will get new impulses, new directions, new inspirations, and you will think in that association, oh, I also will do now a little bit like this. I will become like them. This is the first symptom of being in, when you are in association with devotees. You see their example. I have to wake some of you up. That, and this is now an important point. This you won't want. You need to know. You see the example in the devotees' life, and you feel somehow that you can do it. If you study the Yoga Shastra for psychology, you know that in different associations you feel differently. When you are with very lusty people, you feel, without them expressing anything, some lusty emotions. When you are with very loving people, you feel love in your heart. Have you ever seen Radhanath Maharaj? Have you seen when he comes and he looks at you? Have you seen? And then, because he has so much of that heart chakra energy, that love energy, everyone goes like... I saw him. He came to Germany. See, what is Noumayapur in France? That is Goloka Dham in Germany. A project of free-thinking Vaishnavas. But in Germany it's really free, you know, it's really German-like, you know. So there are all these hardcore people who don't believe anyone, anything. And then and they say, okay, let's see that Swami. We heard he embraced Obama. So he gets out of the car. There's all the devotees are there. Long hair, big Viking birds, you know, a little overgrown, you know. And then he is there. He doesn't say anything, he just looks at everyone. It's called non-verbal communication. And you can see, it's coming out of the heart. And all of them melt away. You know, I have seen with my own eyes. See? Not only Radhanath Maharaj, many devotees. All of us. What happens? What happens in yoga psychology is that there is a certain energy of loving emotions in someone. It's in the heart chakra, and it goes into the other. Just like I was once flying from Atlanta to Moscow, and there was this super duper American Maya Devi. I have never seen such a fool in my life. I mean, she really thought she was the body. Honestly, she had all this hair, and the whole airplane smells like a perfume shop just from this person, you know. She must have paid $500 before she on perfume, you know. And then she sat next to this passionate American businessman, and the businessman, you know, I was a little bit apart. I looked at the businessman, and the businessman was sweating and was perspiring, you know, by all that lusty energy which was there. And he drank water like anything to cool down the fire, you know. He was poor sweating, you know. The Maya Devi was just like, from the lower chakras. What is this going on? Hare Krishna. That is on the lower chakra, that type of energy. And then there is the heart chakra. And then there is, what is the sadhu's power? They have Krishna a little in the heart to a larger degree or lesser degree according to their status in spiritual life. And when we associate with such devotees, then we feel something, but not on the lower chakras. We feel something here. And we feel, my God, I will also get up at least once in a week. You know, we feel that energy, you know. We begin to become influenced. So that is necessary for us. And then we can make that more effort, and then Balaram Shakti comes. And then very, very easily you can throw out or cast out these different problems, this smoke which can kill us, this smoke which comes when we are in contact with the passionate fiery energy of Rajagun, and which brings these attachments in our heart. Good devotee association will help us to endeavor more, and if we can endeavor more, give a little endeavor in this direction to cast out these things, then Balaram becomes pleased, and then shoop. In the Hindi you say hogya, then it's done, you know, finish, then your case is clear. I wanted to bring this back to the original point which I made. My dear devotees, if you want to come to the next stage in the spiritual life, there is one little word which you have to learn. Sacrifice. Sacrifice something for Krishna. That will bring you to the next step in your spiritual life, wherever you are. Do a sacrifice for the pleasure of Krishna, not just some I will fast for 1 week. What is the benefit for Krishna? How will you please him by becoming thinner? You know, no, sacrifice something for the pleasure of Krishna. And I really feel here in New Mayapur, I mean, I'm of course only your guest, I don't know so much about, but this project, I have never seen a project in my whole life like this. It is so absolutely charming and so good for spiritual life. Or you don't hear anything of the Rajagunic materialistic civilization. It's an island in the material universe. And it's really good. And here we are, and I think not only the Mayapur, New Mayapur devotees should think about sacrifice, we also should see what can we do for this project, how can we help it. I think it could easily become a project where many devotees like to come and visit seminars or retreats or so on. It's ideal for that. It's really ideal. Poof. Krishna. They're the most beautiful deities. I want to thank all the devotees from Numayapur from my heart for keeping this project alive and keeping it going. I can imagine in the winter, that's the test, you know, it's so cold, I can imagine. Thank you very much. We have visited the kingdom of God. We feel like that. Hare Krishna. Good. I want to end here. I'm always a little over time, but do you have a question which you feel is relevant? Siddheshwari. Yes, for sure it is possible. What did Krishna say to wake up Balaram, so to say? He said, in a thunderous voice, give up all your fears. Why are you submitting to illusion? Just remember your own divine power and slay the demon. O soul of all souls, secret of all secrets, why are you acting like a human now? So wonderful. You remember how Jambavan spoke to Hanuman? Oh, Hanumanji, you are depressed because Sita is on the island Lanka across the ocean. But don't you remember, you are the son of Vayu. You have extraordinary powers. You can make it. Jump. I think we all need to be awakened like this. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu calls to all of us, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Gaura Chanda Bole, Kota Nidra Jao Maya, Pisa Chira Gole. No, Jeev Jago, wake up, wake up, wake up. How long will you sleep in the lap of Maya? Don't you know I have brought a powerful medicine? Harinam I have brought. It is there for you to take. Deep Jago. But let us not compare ourselves with Balaram. I mean, when Balaram, the sum total which holds all the universes together, which manifests all the universes, Balaram manifests the Vaikuntha worlds as the Mula Sankarshan does. Balaram manifests also the Dham. Do you know why we prefer to go barefoot in Vrindavan? We prefer to go barefoot in Vrindavan because the Dham is the expansion of Balaram's energy. We don't want to walk with feet or with shoes on Balaram if possible. We prefer to walk without shoes. Yes, Chandrasika Prabhu.
In the beginning of your class, you were speaking about how we want to avoid becoming lukewarm or cold, and so we have this healthy desire to keep the water hot, so to speak. In that mood or in that dynamic, is there the possibility that along the way, in the name of, you know, staying away from anything that's cold, we renounce artificially neutral elements of our world, of our society, that don't necessarily represent a compromise with our tradition or with our principles?
Chandrasekhar Prabhu hints at a principle. It's principle is yukta vairagya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur tells us, while we are in this world with a material body, we do have to accept the things of the certain things of the world which will help us, because if we reject them, he says, we could die a premature death. I do remember we in Germany, I ate for, we were a little extreme in the early days. We ate, you know, I thought I'm not the body, so in the winter climate I was not accepting shoes because I'm not the body. And then later I was maybe that's, you know, it's for my, I don't know from where, I ate for 1 year only an apple a day. Now if you do this, do this or such things, you could die in premature death. You should accept shoes and you should accept healthy meals. This is called yukta vairagya, proper renunciation, where you, the word yukta means you maintain some yukta, some connection to this world. Now, how much yukta vairagya you do depends a little bit on two things. On your ashram, that's one thing, and also on your adhika, your present qualification in English is a judgmental term. Your present state in your evolution. What is good for you, Chandrashika, may not be good for Krishna Das or Balaram Das. I'm just saying any word. And really, how much should be accepted and how much should be not accepted is something which is up to the discretion of the individual. We both had discussions about this subject and you have come to conclusions which I think are very good for you and for your path and your evolution, and they are also good for Krishna, for spreading Krishna consciousness. I just read a conversation of Prabhupada, let me concentrate very, very much now, where he talked about dress. I know that this is for some of you of interest, and he said, we should, sannyasi should go in the sannyas dress, but grihasthas should go like gentlemen, with nice shirt and coat, and then he said tilak and sika. he wanted, in other words, in English, please help me, Erkennungsmerkmal is a German word, some sign whereby you can recognize these are devotees. He thought tilak and sika is good. Now I want to bring a point to your attention. Maybe for preaching sake, sometimes the devotee will dress himself properly, will dress, not sometimes, will dress good, so that it's easier for good in the world thing, so that it's easier to make contact, to relay to him. Yesterday, Vimala did a photo session for internet, and the persons who had to be photographed in the portrait, Vimala and his assistant took care that everything is proper, because we know when we are not properly dressed, people will not listen to us. Therefore, Prabhupada said, first dress, then address. He says things so brief sometimes, because if you look like a gypsy, They will think, when you come and preach, people will just put their hands on their purses because they think you might steal the money afterwards, you know. So they can't listen very carefully to you. So he said that yes, devotees can dress properly, but they should be seen as devotees. Now, Prabhupada suggested tilak and sika, visible. Tilak and sika. Sika can be worn there can be the bald head in sika. There can be sika like the Bengali gentlemen's have it. They have hair, the grihastas have hair in their sika. So yes, these things can be done. Prabhupada suggested this. I'm thinking sometimes, because I'm discussing this subject a lot with our preachers from the Veda Academy, there's one preacher who gives lectures each twice a month to 400 to 500 people, we discussed things, and to doctors and to congresses, and he was in the parliament, he's really preaching. And the devotee says, so should we always have tilak and sika? And I said, well, you have to use your intelligence. What Prabhupada's point seems to be is that his devotees are recognized as devotees. So when you feel this is not appropriate for some reason or another using your intelligence, then do something else, like speak about Krishna. Then they know you are a Krishna devotee. You know, it is, you should be recognized as a devotee. That's the point. But it may be safe to keep the tilak and sika. I'm just bringing this as a point, which, because sometimes there are some situations I could now try to construct one, but I'm a little hungry now, like all of you, and my brain doesn't work so well. So like that. Good. Yukta Vairagya. The idea is, while you're in the world, you should accept what is beneficial for your spiritual life. No? That is the principle. And how this applies in different situations, you either have to think very deeply, and if there is, you cannot, or best is also to discuss with the different devotees, because there is a danger that you go over the granitsa, over the border, and as a result you become compromised in your spiritual life, and you associate in the name of Yukta Vairagya the things which pull you down. The danger is very much there when you use the principle. And so is the danger there if you don't use the principle, if you are like me, not taking shoes and clothing and eating in a crazy diet. Hare Krishna. I'm sorry I went over time. Soon you will get rid of me. It's just such a good subject. How can you stop? So now let us stop, take your prasadam, and I see you again a little later. Hare Krishna.